much for taking the time to doing this interview today. The idea is to ask you a few questions about your external innovation policies at Vetokinol. My first question would be, what is external innovation for you and for your company?
Okay, thank you for this interview. So first of all, Vetokinol is a middle-sized animal health company. We are purely dedicated to this business, so it is close from human healthcare business, but not exactly same rules. So we are a middle-sized company with 2,000 employees around the world and affiliates in all the major markets. As a middle-sized company, external innovation matters very much because we don't have all the skills and all the capabilities to develop a product from A to Z and bring to the market. So if you look at to our product on the market today, most of them come from external innovation. So it's really in the DNA of our company to do external innovation. So how to define this? It's not that easy to define it in a single sentence, by the way. What I would say first is that innovation is becoming more and more challenging because there are less and less unmet needs, because technologies are more and more complex. And in the near future, if not today, we are switching from pure healthcare in chemical or biotech issues to more transversal skills with biology, but also high-tech digital things. So it's more and more difficult and less and less likely that a single company can bring breakthrough innovation on the market by its own. So external innovation is a must now. So how to define it? I would say it's a collaboration. A collaboration between companies that have complementary skills, complementary know-how, and coming maybe from different universes, putting together their capabilities, skill, and resources to develop jointly a product and bring it to market. Business-wise, ideally, it's a risk and benefit-sharing deal that we prefer in general. So this excludes a kind of collaboration like contract research, for example. So it's really a kind of R&D joint venture, not in the formal way, but it's just designing something together and collaborating and bringing synergies to make it a success.
Thank you for answering this first question. My second question is, could you tell us how you are collaborating with academics at Vetokinol?
So, like any health companies, we do a lot of consulting with key opinion leaders, for example, but it is a bit outside of scope, probably. More on the R&D side, we are doing collaboration mainly with services, by the way. So we are partnering with academics, universities mainly, to do some tests on molecules we are developing. In particular, when those tests do not exist in private companies, or when on the top of the test itself, we need extra scientific input, or when we need something custom fit, something designed specifically for us. So it's not, to be honest, it's not the majority of cases, but it's very critical in some case because we could not develop some product with very, very special mechanism of action without academic collaboration, for sure. We have very few collaboration on new molecules, because we didn't have a proposal of interest. We had a lot, but we never, we rarely progress on such collaboration with academics. It's more on the service side.
Thank you for those explanation. So now, could you tell us, if you would encourage researchers from academia to collaborate with industries, and what would be your advice for them?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that we are facing the same issues than our the other commercial entities. academics used to be pure cost centers. Now they have to bring money to the entity, and they have to be sometimes even profitable. So they are on both sides, and it's difficult for them to reconcile their role of education and scientific dissemination with the collaboration with public companies, with the commercial companies, because we clearly have in most cases different rules and different expectations. For example, when it comes to IP and ownership of results, typically I'm still speaking about services. Typically, we want to own the data and to be free to apply for patent by our own. And when we deal with academics, it's sometimes difficult because they want to be able it comes also to confidentiality issue. They want to be able to use results for education, internal or external, and to publish scientific articles. And for sure, we can understand that because this is their job to publish. And sometimes those two mindset or goals are difficult to reconcile. So we struggle every time with contract. It takes very long time to set a contract, even more with North American universities. And so this is one something very cumbersome. So I don't know how to manage this, but finding a way to be more consilient with our expectation would make things much easier. So this is on a general aspect about contracts, so that IP, data ownership, and confidentiality. Now, just to comment a bit what I said just before about the lack of collaboration we have on new molecules. We have a lot of proposals coming from everywhere, from Japan, US, wherever. But most of the time, those activities, those research activities, are really, how we say, techno push. So it is because they have a know-how, they have sometimes a PhD student for which they want to create some activity, and so they develop a molecule. The point is that they are missing a lot of things around the molecule itself. In general, the IP situation, the freedom to operate regarding patents, is not done. So they are sometimes developing molecules without taking care of the patent landscape. So at the end of the day, when you take the molecule, you see that it's not possible to bring it to the market for IP reasons. So if this is something, if you do not take this into account from the beginning, it's a mess. Apart from the patent situation, is the market situation. Developing a product is not just developing a molecule. You have to be clear about what are the market expectations from a marketing and technical point of view. So in the industry, we always start with a target product profile. We start from customer needs, and then we say how to fulfill this need, designing a molecule, a product. And this is not the way academics are working. Academics are more developing a molecule because they have the skills to do it, because they're interested in the mode of action or so on. But it's not enough to make something that can have a market potential. You have to include customer needs, market needs from the beginning, and design your molecule to fulfill that need. You have to set up all the tests to make sure that, to screen your candidate, to make sure that they will fulfill that need, and not the other way around. And most of the time, the molecule proposed to us do not take into account this kind of need. So it's not just about having a molecule, it's having a molecule that fulfills the market need. Was it clear?
Yes, thank you very much for your insight. My last question is, do you have an external innovation program at Vetokinol?
Yeah, so we recently launched a program with a UK-based university in the field of parasitology. So we applied jointly for funding from a non-profit organization in the US, and so we are currently finalizing the contract aspect, and we will hire a PhD student in the next month and kick off the project. So we are very glad about this new project, and we expect having another one with a green light in the next month. So most of the time, those programs are very early stage, but we catch the opportunity of having public funding because it's a very low financial risk for us. So in that case, we are keen to launch public private collaborations with academics.
Thank you very much for your time today and for doing this interview, Michael.